We present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil, based on his novel and starring Richard Briers, with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, and Paul Whitson Jones. Episode 7, and so on, etc., featuring this week's guest star, Noel Howlett.
Roger, I want to have a serious talk to you.
You sound like a great aunt, Sally. Great aunt Sally, that's good.
Roger, please keep your humor for the court. Anyway, you haven't got a great aunt.
I know, but that's what you sound like if I had one. And I wouldn't want to marry her. Anyway, forbidden, you know. A man may not marry his great aunt.
Tell me when you've finished being flippant, and then I'll begin.
You mean you really are serious?
I said so.
Well, then I'll be serious, too. Look at the face, see? That's serious, isn't it? Look, no smile, no curl of the upper lip.
The longer you keep this up, the longer it'll take.
Is that what it's going to be like when we're married?
Yes, Roger. If you want to break it off, you'd better say so now.
Of course I don't want to break it off. I love you, Sally. I want to marry you. It's only, what have I done wrong, anyway?
Roger, I'm sorry to have to say this, but a husband and wife should be able to put complete trust in each other. And I'm afraid that I don't entirely trust you.
Not trust me? Why on earth not?
You don't always tell the truth.
Well, all men are liars, aren't they? It says so in the Bible.
That was said by the psalmist in his haste, Roger. He didn't mean it. He spoke too quickly.
So he said all men are liars and they weren't?
And that's about it.
But he was a liar anyway, wasn't he?
Only because he spoke too quickly.
Do I speak too quickly?
Yes, when you want to get out of something.
Am I speaking too quickly now?
Yes, you are.
What do I want to get out of now, then?
You want to get out of our serious talk.
I do admire you, Sally. You're always right. I'm tired of my great aunt. Let's have a canoodle instead.
We'll have our talk first.
How long for?
That depends upon how much you interrupt.
I won't say a word, then we can canoodle for the rest of the evening.
If you behave yourself, yes.
What's the good of canoodling if I have to behave myself?
You know perfectly well what I mean. Now listen, Roger. When we're married, I've got to be able to trust you. I know that by nature men are polygamous and girls are monogamous. But I'm not going to have it.
You mean that you want to be polygamous too? Polygamous too?
You know, perfectly well I don't. In the marriage service, it says, forsaking all others.
It doesn't, you know. I've been looking it up.
It certainly does.
No, sorry, sorry. This is where the keen legal mind comes in, Sally. It says, forsaking all other.
What's the difference?
It's a nice point.
It's not a nice point at all. Whether it's other or others, it includes joy.
Well, put that in if you like. Forsaking joy, Helen, Ermintrude, and all others.
You've seen joy recently quite a number of times. When I've asked you about your meetings, your answers have not been altogether satisfactory, Roger. Sometimes it seems as though you're keeping something back.
But protecting joy, you mean?
If you like, yes.
Well, I do no more for her than I would for you.
Well, I hope you can also say that you've done no more to her than you have to me. Have you?
I suppose that's the sort of question that you think I try to dodge.
Yes.
And you think I'm trying to dodge it now?
Yes.
You don't really want to know the truth, you?
Yes, I do.
I'm afraid of that. Well, here goes. I've done no more to Joy than I have to you.
But you'd like to.
Of course, to both of you, I mean.
I want to be sure that when we're married, if you come back late from chambers, it will be because you've been working and not slipping around with one of the shorthand typists.
In other words, you want to be sure that what I tell you is the truth.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I can give you a jolly good way of doing that. That case I'm understudying at the Old Bailey has shown me one test of a liar.
What is it?
This chap I'm prosecuting, when he hasn't got a proper answer, or when he wants to get out of giving details or something that isn't true, he always says, and so on, etc.
And so on, etc.
Yep.
Mr. Thursby, do you wish to cross-examine?
If your lordship pleases. Now, Mr. Jones, you were on national assistance, and yet you say you were able to pay £300 for this television set. Where were you to get the money?
Where was I to get the money? That's the question, is it?
That's the question, Mr. Jones. May I trouble you for the answer?
Oh, no trouble at all, sir. Well, to be quite honest, what I did was this. I went round to one or two of my friends to see if they could lend me a bit of the ready, and I thought I'd sell an old bicycle and one or two things and so on, etc. And there I was, and so on, etc.
Where were you?
Ready to pay for the TV set.
Then why didn't you pay for it? You told the man who sold it to you that you had the money at home and would pay him in the morning.
Well, in a manner of speaking, I had.
Well, what manner of speaking? Esperanto or some other strange language?
I don't follow.
I don't follow you. What right had you to tell the man in the shop that you had the money at home?
I told you. I was going to put a few things together and sell them and so on, etc.
And what was the bicycle going to fetch?
I'd been offered a fiver for it.
Well, I'll be generous. Call it 10. What else had you got to sell?
Well, there was a chair. To be quite truthful, it wouldn't take a heavy weight. It was worth a couple of quid, or I'm a Dutchman.
What else?
There was a mango.
Didn't your wife want that?
Oh, no, she's got a washing machine. The mango's a bit rusty, but I could have polished it up a bit.
And what would that have fetched?
Have you ever tried to sell a mango?
You mustn't ask me questions, but the answer's no.
Nor have I. So we're in the same boat, aren't we?
So in fact, you never did sell anything.
I didn't have the chance.
You had ample time. It was a month between the time you bought the television set home and the day you were arrested.
But I was busy during that month.
Busy with what? Buying a new vacuum cleaner?
How did you know?
The truth is, Mr. Jones, isn't it, that when you bought that set, you had not got £300, and you had no chance of getting it unless you'd won a football pool or something.
That was another thing I did, filled in the coupons. That takes a bit of time.
I think we'll adjourn now.
All persons having anything to do before my lord, the Queen's justices.
Hey, Roger.
Joyce, what are you doing here?
Walking back with you to the temple.
Have you been in court?
Uncle Elton's like me to keep an eye on you.
Well, I wish you wouldn't, Joyce. Since I've become engaged to Sally, our relationship must be purely professional.
You always say that to me when we meet.
It's the truth.
But the truth isn't everything, Roger. There are nicer things in life than the truth. When you put your arms around me and tell me I'm the prettiest girl you've ever seen, that's much nicer than the truth.
I haven't done that for a long time.
Far too long, Roger.
You don't expect me to do it in the street.
I shouldn't mind. You could say it anyway. But you must be thirsty after all that talking. Let's go and have a cup of tea.
Cup of tea? I must say that sounds good.
Come along. Let's go to the Turkish garden.
The Turkish garden? Oh, no.
In here, then.
What? Where on earth is this?
Come on.
Good evening, my lord, my lady. This way, please.
I don't like this.
Don't be silly. It's London in the middle of the afternoon.
Down here, please, my lord, my lady. Will you follow me, please?
Hold on, Roger. I'll come with you.
This seat most of my customers like. They can see, but they cannot be seen.
This will do very nicely, thank you. Sit down, Roger.
Can't I sit opposite the lady?
No, the seats are only side by side. It is better that way. There is more room when you've finished your tea.
Go on in, Roger. Go on, I'll protect you.
The seat is comfortable, is it not? You can push the table away afterwards if you wish. That is why there is no seat on the other side. It is much more comfortable when you push the table away.
I don't wish to push the table away. We've come in for a pot of tea and a scone.
There is tea, coffee, chocolate as you please. Whichever you have, may I recommend a little of our special elixir in it?
Not for me, thank you.
And for the lady?
She doesn't need any.
Then you've had it before. It comes all the way from Istanbul. It has the perfume of the Orient and what you may call the kick of the Orient, too.
Let's be devils, Roger, and have some.
Certainly not.
It makes an old man young again, and a young man, oh, he skips like a ram.
Could we please have a butterscotch and a pot of tea?
And then perhaps a few of our little Eastern cakes. They are specially prepared. And when a young man and a young woman share one between them, they create much happiness.
No, thank you.
Do let's try one. It can't do any harm. We've both got good digestions.
I will bring two. If you like one, you can eat the other. Excuse me.
Look, we really can't stay long here. I mean, you know, we oughtn't to be here at all. I don't know what Sally will say about it.
But you have to tell her.
Certainly. If you were engaged, wouldn't you expect your young man to tell you you've been out with another girl?
I hope he'd have the sense not to. Anyway, you can just say you went into Lyons for a quick cup of tea.
I didn't know such places as this existed.
It's quite useful for you to know, Roger. I mean, for a case someday.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, you're quite right. You don't want to have a broader background of knowledge as possible. But it's so dark. There's an atmosphere of vice about the place.
Isn't it lovely? Come a little closer. No, that's not me. That's a table leg. Let's push it away.
Joy, please. You must behave now. Look, Joy, you've got your hand on my knee.
It used to be the other way around, but I didn't complain.
Anyway, I merely wanted a chamber.
If you really didn't want to come in, you should have resisted, you know.
I'm too weak, that's my trouble.
You resisted the elixir.
I didn't need it.
Nor did I. I must say, I'd like to see you leap like a ram. Here's the tea. Shall I be mother? If you don't mind my using the word.
I fear that there are no what many people call scones. So I have brought you some Turkish honey sandwiches. They are made with English bread and French butter, and the honey comes from your own Scotland.
Is that why you call them Turkish?
No, that is not why we call them Turkish. Would you like to know why we call them Turkish?
Because you put something Turkish into them. No, thank you very much, no.
Do you not like my country?
What? Oh, lovely, lovely. Oh, I've always loved that Turkey. Yes, we both like your country very much.
Then why do you not want a little bit of us in your honey sandwiches?
I might get gout.
That is very painful, but you are very young to get gout, and if anything could give you gout, it would be the Scottish honey, not the little Turkish thing.
What is the little Turkish thing?
It is a Turkish herb called Athianruhu.
And what does it do?
Please taste and see.
If it's got anything to do with your mountains skipping like rams, it's not on as far as I'm concerned.
Perhaps the lady will persuade you.
I can never persuade him to do anything. He's so strong-minded. Have you got a cure for that?
I have the very thing. Give it to him to drink just before you go to bed.
We're not going to bed.
I did not mean now.
We don't go to bed.
What, never?
Never.
You must be very tired. I could give you something for that, too.
No, thank you. No, we'll just have our tea and then I'd like the bill, please.
But you must have one of our little Turkish cakes.
Get them to wrap one up and you can take it to Sally.
I shall do nothing at all. No Turkish cakes, no Turkish sandwiches, nothing except our tea, thank you.
Will you not even push the table away after tea? Just for a moment, Roger.
Well, on earth have you been, my dear fellow?
Well, actually, Grimes, I walked back.
Well, it only takes 10 minutes to walk back from the bailey, and you left there 3/4 of an hour ago.
Oh, is it as long as that? Anyway, what am I wanting for?
You've got a client with a new case waiting for you. Alex out, and I've thrown him into your room.
Oh, good question. I just have a quick wash, and I'll be ready. Who's the solicitor?
Oh, Miss Mannering's firm, my dear fellow.
Good question. Is Sally... Is Miss Mannering here herself?
No, no, no. She couldn't get down. They sent a clerk, a Mr. Plum. He knows a lot, so don't pretend you know more than you do, my dear fella.
What's the case about?
Oh, estate agents, commission, I believe, but you'll soon find out.
Estate agents, eh? Right, I'll be there in a moment. Ah, how do you do, gentlemen? Please sit down.
If you don't mind, Mr. Thursby, Mr. Slimbridge would like to say a few words before I tell you about the case.
Oh, I gather that you've been swindled by an estate agent. Usual thing, I suppose.
I am an estate agent, sir.
Disgraceful things people say about you, don't they, Mr. Slimbridge?
Yes, they do. Now, let's get down to cases. I'm a very busy man. I haven't got much time to give you. There are 3 things to discuss. First, was there a contract? Second, was it broken? Third, were the damages? We'll spend 1/4 of an hour on each, starting from now.
Well, Mr. Thursby, the ball seems to be in your court.
But I've never seen it before, you see. Perhaps Mr. Slimbridge better tell me his story, then I'll advise you as to, one, whether there was a contract. 15 minutes for that. Was it broken?
I said all that, Mr. Thursby. Shall we get on? I'll tell you what happened. I was sitting in my office when this fellow, Colonel Holt, was shown into my room. Colonel Holt. So you want to sell your house, Colonel? Please sit down. Your full name is?
Rodney Holt, and I've written down my address. That's the name of the house.
First of all, I'd like to know whether you'd like us to advertise.
Certainly not.
May you put up a board?
Certainly not.
May I ask why you want to sell?
Money.
And the accommodation? 3 up and 3 down, usual terrace, I suppose?
4 up.
4? You mean one's divided into 2?
I never thought about it. There are 4 rooms upstairs, and you can come and see them if you like.
Certainly, when I have a moment. We're rather rushed off our feet at the moment. Now, what price are you asking, Colonel?
I'd like to get £15,000.
I'm sure you would, Colonel. And so would a lot of people.
But there's a great shortage of houses, isn't there?
There may be. There's a great shortage of buyers, though. Quite frankly, this type of house is very difficult to sell. I would say it isn't a drug on the market. That'd be going too far. But there's no money, you see. Now, flats or very small houses are a different matter. They're snapped up at once. But 7 or 8 room houses are very difficult. I might get you 10 or 11,000. But if you'd like to give us the sole right to sell, we'll do the best we can.
What do you mean, the sole right to sell?
Oh, it's just our jargon. I expect you had yours in the army.
What will you ask for it?
I suggest 12,000 as an asking price, but I strongly advise you to take 10.
Well, please do the best you can.
I always do.
And your definite view is that houses of this size in London are not fetching good prices.
That is not just my view, sir. It is a fact. You can't argue with facts.
Well, you've cheered me up in one way.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I want to buy a house in London. Not a very small house or a flat, but a 7 or 8 roomed house with the usual. And I don't mind if one of the rooms on the upper floor is divided into two or not. In other words, the type of house you've assured me is almost a drug on the market. I'm glad to hear that it should be easy to get and won't cost much.
What sort of price had you in mind? 15,000, 20,000?
Good gracious, no. Something less than I shall get for mine.
I'm afraid that won't be all that easy.
But you just said these houses are difficult to sell.
Indeed they are, but I didn't say they were easy to buy. Sellers are holding back, waiting for an improvement.
Then you'd recommend me not to sell mine yet.
On the contrary, Colonel, I'd recommend you to sell before things get worse.
But you said that sellers are holding back, waiting for an improvement.
I did indeed. But I didn't say they were right to do so. In my considered opinion, they're in for a nasty shock. In a year's time, your house may be fetching less than it would today.
Then why can't I buy from someone like myself?
Because people are very stupid, Colonel. And I'm sorry to have to say it, greedy. Of course, people like yourself may be forced to sell because they need the money.
But surely there must be other people owning a house like mine who have to sell it.
I'm sure there are, Colonel.
Then why can't I buy one of their houses?
Quite simple, Colonel, because there aren't enough of them. Their houses are snapped up as soon as they come on the market.
Then why isn't mine?
Because your price is too high, Colonel. You sell yours tomorrow, 8,000, 9,000?
I dare say, no doubt you could. No doubt someone would accept it as a gift.
What's the state of repair, may I ask? I should have asked you that before. My suggested prices were, of course, based on it being in a good state of repair.
It's in very fair repair.
No woodworm or dry rot?
Certainly not.
Well, let's hope it's all right, but I can assure you that some houses are so pestered and they're worth little more than the site value. About that sometimes.
So, the long and the short of it is this. No one wants a house like mine, so I shall only get a low price for it. On the other hand, no one will sell houses like mine because the prices are too low. It's a buyer's market for my house, but a seller's market for any other house of the same description. In addition to that, my house is likely to be standing at all. And if I don't get prosecuted by the local council for having a dangerous structure, I shall be lucky.
Well, that's the first part of the story, Mr. Thursby. Then he went out. Now, was there a contract?
But did he sign anything?
Of course he signed something. He signed an agreement giving us the sole right to sell.
Oh, there's a bit of jargon, you mean. And now I suppose he sold his house to a friend without any assistance from you, and you want to know if you can claim commission or the equivalent.
Your eyes on the ball, Mr. Thursby. That's exactly what happened. We've got him, haven't we?
Well, if you're entitled to anything, you won't have done much work for it.
Not done much work. Entering up the property, advertising it, sending it out to sub-agents and so on, etc. Not much work.
Yeah, but apart from the so on, etc., you haven't done any of that except enter it in your books.
But if we get the sole right to sell, we're quids in whatever happens. I mean, that's right, isn't it?
Well, I'm not at all sure about this, Mr. Smith, quite frankly, but there's an old book I'll have to look up. Would you forgive me for a minute?
Come in. There's been me, dear fellow. What can I do for you today? Marriage? Canoodling? Or actual work?
Work, as a matter of fact, Grant.
It's a change. What's happening with the canoodling? Face too hot?
Well, I'm engaged to sell it.
Oh, yes, of course, my dear fellow, but little bird told me the other young woman's still around. You're like a Turk, my dear fellow.
Why on earth may you say that?
Because you've got lots of wives, my dear fellow.
You don't happen to know any Turks in London, I suppose?
No. No, never. I haven't the pleasure. I take a Turkish bath from time to time.
Good Lord, I've forgotten about all them. I never had one. Are there any near the Old Bailey?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't recommend it to you, my dear fellow. I believe in nature's way. So do the Turks, as a matter of fact.
What? Do you mean having all those wives is natural?
Well, of course it is, my dear fellow. You're not thinking of going out there, are you?
Good gracious, no. I want to get on at the bar and marry Sally.
Forsaking all other.
That's right.
Yes. Have you, my dear fellow?
Well, I can't help knocking into her from time to time.
Well, I'm knocking into whom?
Oh, knocking into other. The solicitor's niece, Joy.
Well, it would be unnatural if you didn't knock into her from time to time, wouldn't it, my dear fellow? Not too hard, really.
Oh, I don't. I'm terribly careful.
Yes. Are you? Are you, my dear, terribly careful?
You don't happen to have been following me by any chance, do you, Grant?
Oh. You seem to have a conscience, don't you, my dear fellow? Do you want to confess?
I'm at your service. Now, if I'd known when I took you on as a pupil that I was going to make the job as father confessor as well...
You wouldn't have taken me.
Oh, on the contrary, my dear fellow, I'd have asked if there were any more like you. Now then, you run along, my dear fellow. I've got quite a lot of work to do.
Thank you very much, Grime. Oh, good Lord, I've forgotten to ask what I really came in for. And my wretched clients are still waiting in my room.
That's all right, my dear fellow, doing good. I suppose you told them you wanted to look up a book.
As a matter of fact, I said an old book.
There's no need to be quite as truthful as that, my dear boy. What do you think you'll find in it?
The answer, I hope. Look, if an estate agent gets a man to sign an agreement giving the estate agent the sole right to sell his house, is it binding?
Ah, it all depends, my dear fellow. Now, did the chap ask what the sole right to sell meant?
He did, as a matter of fact.
And what was the answer?
The agent said it was just jargon.
Well, that's all right then, my dear fellow. You'll get out of that. You can set the contract aside. It's not worth the paper it's written on. You can tell your client he's on a winner.
But my client's the estate agent.
Oh, well, you can tell him he's on a loser then. What does he know?
Well, should I just tell him it's hopeless and show him the door?
Well, yeah, but do it tactfully, my dear fellow. What's the fellow's name?
Slimbridge.
Yeah, well, you see, something like this, you see. Now, Mr. Slimbridge, I've considered your case very carefully. Very carefully indeed, and it's obvious your firm's a very go-ahead one. I wish I had shares in it. The question you've asked me, Mr. Slimbridge, is a delicate one. You want to know if you take proceedings against Mr. Poppleton...
It was a colonel, as a matter of fact, and his name wasn't Poppleton.
Well, never mind, my dear fellow. We'll make him a sergeant for this purpose. Now, then, right. You want to know, Mr. Slimbridge, if you sue Sergeant Poppleton, whether you win your case. In other words, Mr. Slimbridge, you want to know whether the agreement he signed is binding on him. Well, now, the answer, Mr. Slimbridge, is that by and large, and having regard to all the circumstances, and notwithstanding the very lucid argument, and all the letters you've written, and bearing in mind the various considerations you put before me, and not without some doubt, and nonetheless being fairly clear of my conclusion without beating about the book, I form the view you haven't a hope in hell.
And that's what you call tactful, Grimes?
Well, you can alter the hope in hell bit. I form the view that you are unlikely to succeed in this case.
Do you think I can remember all that?
Well, I'm sure you can't. But you didn't try and get hold of one or two of the good bits. Just one other small point, my dear fellow. You're quite sure it is the estate agent you're appearing for and not Sergeant Poppleton?
Yes, I'm quite clear. Thank you very much, Grimes.
That's all right, Charlie. Off with you. Say you've been looking up Bousted on Agency. That's a very old book. A very old book indeed.
Been looking up half the library, I'd imagine.
No, just Bousted on Agency.
Well, what's the verdict? Where do we sue from here?
Oh, on the whole, Mr. Slimbridge... And by and large, and I've forgotten that bit.
In Bousted on Agency, I can look it up when I get back to the office.
Well, some of it does. In all these circumstances, and having regard to what you told me, and being as tactful as I can...
Sickness to those people, cut the cackle and come to the horses.
The horses?
The horses, that's right, the horses.
All right then, Mr. Finbridge. You haven't a hope in hell.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fursby. I just wanted to be sure we're on a loser. Goodbye. Thanks, pal.
Goodbye, Mr. Stimbridge. Mr. Fursby, do you believe in astrology?
Astrology? No, I can't say I do. No, no. I never thought about it very much, to be quite frank with you. I sometimes look at my horoscope in one of the papers, you know. I did it today, as a matter of fact. It said the day would start all right, but I'd have a sticky end. No, I don't really believe in all that sort of thing, Mr. Blum.
Well, it doesn't matter, but I've got a case about astrology. A libel action, as a matter of fact. It's on next month, June the 14th. My client doesn't want it tried in June. I want you to apply to postpone it until July.
Well, no doubt you've got excellent reasons.
Oh, splendid reasons, Mr. Thursby. I'll tell you them as we go across the court tomorrow.
I understand you want to mention the case, Mr. Thursby.
If your lordship pleases, it's the case of Astrology Limited against the Daily Courier.
And what's your application, Mr. Thursby?
My application, my lord, is that the case should stand over for a month.
Mm-hmm. And what are the grounds for the application, Mr. Thursby?
Well, they're a little unusual, my lord.
Oh, you don't mean that your solicitor's office has been burnt down and all the papers destroyed, and your client has had suddenly to go out to New Zealand to see an old aunt? It's not that kind of unusual story?
No, my lord.
Oh, it's not a case of illness?
No, my lord.
Something unusual, I thought you said.
Yes, my lord.
Oh, you're not going to tell me that counsel engaged on the case has got a case in the House of Lords.
No, my lord, I've never been to the House of Lords.
Oh, no doubt that will come in time, Mr. Thursby. By the time you've finished making this application, if it goes on at this rate.
But, I thought your lordship was rather enjoying guessing.
That's a most impertinent remark to make, Mr. Thursby. It's perfectly true all the same. You'd better put me out of my misery and tell me what the unusual grounds for this application are. They really are unusual, are they?
Well, I haven't been very long at the bar, my lord, but I very much doubt if such an unusual ground has ever been raised before.
Oh, that's a tall order, Mr. Thursby. Think what you're saying. Magna Carta was in 1215. We've been going on about 750 years since then. Are you saying that nobody has tried to adjourn a case on the grounds you are about to plead?
I suppose it's possible, my lord, but I think very unlikely.
If you were allowed to pledge your reputation, Mr. Thursby, and I take it that you know that you're not.
Oh, yes, my lord, I haven't very much to pledge, as a matter of fact.
Well, let's assume that you have. If you were allowed to pledge your reputation, would you be prepared to pledge it that I'd never heard such an application of yours before? I've now been a judge 10 years, and I was at the bar 20 years before that.
Yes, my lord, if I were allowed to pledge my reputation, I think I should be safe in pledging it. As I've indicated to your lordship, I wouldn't have very much to lose.
All right, Mr. Thursby, let's get to the nub of the matter.
Well, my lord, your lordship knows that this case is about astrology.
Is there yet a college of astrologers, Mr. Thursby? If so, is your client a member of it?
Well, I've no idea, my lord. I only know that my horoscope said that I was going to have a sticky end yesterday and again today.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Thursby, but these prophecies are not always right. Oh, is that why you're taking such a time to come to the end of your application?
Not really, my lord. To tell your lordship the truth, I was rather enjoying bandying words with your lordship.
So was I, Mr. Thursby. But I've got some other applications to hear, and I don't think we should keep them waiting any longer. What are the grounds of your application to adjourn this case till next month?
Well, my lord, it's a question of types.
What on earth do you mean?
Would your lordship very kindly let me know the date of your birthday?
Certainly not.
Well, as a matter of fact, my lord, in case your lordship felt like that, I took the liberty of looking it up in Who's Who. I see that your lordship was born under Libra, the scales. So your lordship's type is likely to become a judge.
Oh, that is certainly a coincidence, Mr. Thursby. Might I know under what sign you were born?
Appropriately enough for a bachelor, my lord, Virgo.
But you'll get married sometime, Mr. Thursby, I suppose.
Oh, yes, my lord.
Will you then change to Taurus the Bull or Aries the...
Oh, no, no, my lord, no. Once Virgo, always Virgo.
That's your affair, Mr. Thursby. But now perhaps you will tell me what all this has got to do with your application.
Well, it leads directly up to it, my lord. This case would normally come on in June, and the reason why my client wants it postponed to July is a reason of which I'm sure your lordship, having been born under Libra, will approve.
Well, what is it?
My client was born under Scorpio, my lord, and unfortunately his type doesn't tell the truth in June.
You've had quite an adventurous 48 hours, Roger. Cross-examining a crook at the Old Bailey, telling a few home truths to an estate agent, and having fun and games in court on behalf of an astrologer. Anything else?
Not really, that I can think of.
Seen any old friends?
Grimes, you mean?
Grimes will do for a start. Have you seen Grimes?
Oh, yes, yes. Saw Grimes. He was most helpful.
Henry, by any chance?
No, I didn't see Henry today, no.
No one else?
Did you have anyone particular in mind?
Yes, Roger. Did you?
Did I?
Did you?
Well, as a matter of fact, as I was on my way back from the Old Bailey, and I decided to walk, you know. Exercise is good for me, and it doesn't take me very long. As I was walking back from the Old Bailey...
A little hand slipped through your arm, did it?
Not exactly, no, but Joy did come up to speak to me, and she said she happened to be going in the same direction.
How fortunate. And she walked all the way back with you to the temple, and that's all there was to it.
Well,
I'm getting a little tired of well. Well, what?
Well, I was feeling a bit thirsty, and then Joy suggested we should have a cup of tea. I didn't really see any harm in it, so we went into a place had a cup of tea.
And so on, et cetera.
Yes, it's perfectly true. We had a few of those, too.
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Pryors, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong. The judge, Noel Howlett, Mr. Slimbridge, Paul Whitson-Jones, Mr. Jones, John Rutland, Colonel Hunt, William Fox, Mr. Plum, Edward Kelsey, the manageress, Owen Griffiths, and the usher, John Sampson. And so on, etc., was written by Henry Cecil. The program was produced by Trafford Whitelock.